The 65-foot-tall loblolly pine, known as the Eisenhower tree, along Augusta National's 17th hole, was cut down after it was damaged in a recent ice storm that hit Georgia and several other states. The tree earned its nickname because it didn't like Ike. Dwight Eisenhower hit it so many times between 1948 and 1969 that he lobbied to have the loblolly removed. He was overruled by then-Augusta Chairman Clifford Roberts, and the tree stood until last weekend. But what should Augusta do about that? To answer that question, we turn to someone with more than a little knowledge of the course, golf legend and three-time Masters champion Gary Player. Gary Player, welcome to Only a Game.
Thank you very much, Bill, and it's quite sad, but there's always a good side and a bad side, and I'm sure President Eisenhower up there in heaven will say, at last, I've got my wish. But that tree has got a lot of history attached to it. I remember playing there almost 60 years ago, and Sam Snead used to just cream it right over that tree, and he told Bobby Cole about that, and Bobby Cole said, how is it possible? He says, well, it was only 12 foot high when I did it. But the tree, it really was a very significant tree. It was over 100 years old. Not only was it, 65 feet high, but it was up on a hill, which really made it close to 80 foot. What should they do? Well, Augusta, they can build a practice tee worth $100 million, which nobody else can do. They just go up and buy all the houses and make a practice tee out of it. So they can easily replace that tree. And I'm sure there's a big tree somewhere, and they could go in there, and please believe me, they can replace that tree, which I'm sure they'll do.
Well, I'm wondering if Dwight Eisenhower was the only golfer not fond of that tree. There must have been lots of other golfers who had things to say about it. Now, keeping in mind that we're public radio and children may be listening, what have you heard other players say about that tree?
I think basically people are sad that it's gone, even though it might have hurt them. But it wasn't the tree's fault. I mean, it was the golfer's fault. A lot of people like to give the tree the blame. But if you kicked out on the fairway, you liked it. If it stayed up there, you hated it. And many times the ball actually stayed in the tree because it was so thickly grown together.
So what you're telling me is if somebody were to go through the rubble left over from that tree, they'd find not only splinters they could sell on eBay, but also golf balls.
I remember they had a tree in San Francisco at the U.S. Open course, and the tree was cut down, and they found something like 50 golf balls in it. So you don't want to tell many people that because they'll be out with their saw at night.
Have you any favorite or perhaps least favorite hazards on other courses among the many that you've played over the years?
Hazards I always find are the challenging part of the game of golf. And I like all these hazards. I mean, the 13th hole at Augusta has that hazard right in front of the green. But the 13th hole at Augusta one year, I went for the green, and there was a pipe, a drainage pipe that stuck out underneath the green into the hazard by about 2 feet, and my ball landed against that. And luckily, I got a drop, and I chipped it up and held the putt and went on to win the tournament. So, hazards sometimes are good to you and sometimes they're bad. But if they're bad, you cannot complain because there's no hazard in the middle of the green.
You and your firm have designed more than 300 golf courses in 35 different countries. What is it about the design at Augusta National that keeps people interested enough to worry about whether a tree is going to be replaced?
It's the first major championship, Bill, of the year, and it's a paradise. I mean, I've always said if there's a golf course in heaven, it's got to look like Augusta, and I hope that I'm the head pro there one day, but I'm not in a hurry to tee off yet. But I've always said that's what it would look like. It's a paradise. The whole atmosphere of Augusta, it really exemplifies great beauty, great tradition, great excitement, first major, all the screaming and echoing through those valleys, and the fact that it had President Eisenhower and Bobby Jones and Clifford Roberts, and a lot of phenomenal great champions throughout history that have won there. It's something very, very special.
Now, I have to get back to President Eisenhower for just one final question. He complained about this tree, and he learned that as president, he was not the most powerful man in the United States as far as trees at Augusta were concerned, because that was Cliff Roberts.
Right.
Was Eisenhower just a bad golfer?
No, he was pretty good off his handicap. He was a wonderful man, and Arnold Palmer and I had dinner with him one night at up in La Trobe, and he just loved golf, which is a great blessing, because so many presidents, President Kennedy, President Obama, President Bush, President Clinton, you can go back to all of them. They all loved golf. And what did the man on the moon do when he arrived there? He didn't kick a football, he hit a golf ball. So here I'm nearly 80, and I can beat my age by at least 8 to 10 shots a day. I can still play well. I won a tournament at 63. Other sports, you're 30 and you're gone.
Gary Player was inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame 40 years ago, and he has 165 tournament victories to his credit, including 9 major championships on the regular PGA Tour. Gary, thank you very much for speaking with me. It's been a delight.
Thank you so much, Bill. Take care, my friend.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabue. Our technical director is James Trout. We had help this week from Martin Kessler, and our intern is Zoe Sobel. Our senior producer is Gary Wallach. Our final word this week is from the one and only Gary Player.
You know, other sports, you don't stay and play. You play and you get the heck out of there. Now, golf, you stay and play.
You can't argue with a man. He's 78, and he shoots well under his age. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. The Pew Charitable Trusts, driven by the power of knowledge to solve today's most challenging problems at pewtrusts.org. And the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, helping people build measurably better lives on the web at hewlett.org. This is NPR.